Just one more housekeeping. We do recycle the aluminum cans to help Howard County Home residents with their medicines and that. So there's a special can in the back there. If you drink a soda, take it and throw it in there, and that'll help them. Okay. Let's see. Would you please stand up for a minute? Would you please stand up for a minute? Would you please stand up for a minute? Okay, we've got three guys that are standing up. We're going to have a vote this morning. And you get a chance, you only get to cast one vote. We want to vote on which one of these men is the wisest. Do we have any votes for John? We've got a few. Do we have any votes for Scott? Okay, we've got a few. Do we have any votes for Dan? We got a few. Now, how many voted more than twice because you didn't want to make anybody feel bad? You can sit on. Thanks. The thing about it is, I don't know these gentlemen. I don't know which one's the wisest. You know, that's the truth of it. How do we know that a person is wise? You know, unless you know one of those three men, it's hard to determine which one is the wisest. You know, when we think about somebody being wise, is it based on knowledge that they have gained, that you have seen them apply? And I think that's the key. You know when somebody is who is wise, who has gained knowledge and is able to apply that. And today we launch our year-long look at the book of Proverbs. Our series titles there on the outline, Today's Men, and the key word there is applying God's truth. It's our hope that we all will be better at applying God's wisdom to life situations as we go through this year. And each week, the speaker is going to focus on one chapter from the book of Proverbs and seek to make it applicable to the life of men. Today, I'd like to set the stage for our look at the book of Proverbs. And it's interesting because Proverbs, the first chapter in the first seven verses, provides us with an introduction to the entire book of Proverbs. What are Proverbs? Well, they're found in many civilizations. It's not just something you'll find in the Bible. You'll find them in almost any civilization. In fact, some of the modern proverbs today are, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Rome wasn't built in a day. You know, those are some that you remember. And others maybe come to mind. But what I want to is establish that though proverbs have been around for years, and they're generally the result of a person's observations about life, the book of Proverbs is different because it comes by the revelation of God to the author. A special knowledge and insight is imparted, has been given to the author by God. Now, who's the author? Well, chapter 1 tells us, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of King David, King of Israel. Now, did you ever wonder how Solomon ended up so wise? If we could sort of bottle that, package it. If you go back into 1 Kings, the third chapter, you'll experience the encounter that Solomon has in his reign with God at the beginning. And his humble heart asked one thing of God, and that was that he would have a discerning heart to govern God's people and to be able to distinguish between right and wrong. Now, the response to that request by Solomon comes in verse 11 of that chapter. And God tells us that Solomon did not ask for long life. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask that any of the enemies that would be around or threatening Israel be taken care of, eliminated. But rather, Solomon asked for understanding, and here's what God said to him. I will give you wise and a discerning heart. So God was with Solomon in a special way and used him to write the book of Proverbs. And as we look at the verses printed on our outline, I think we can discover some reasons for studying this book. First, we discover that Proverbs are good for instruction and training. In verse 2, it says, "For attaining wisdom and discipline." To attain is to know, to be instructed. And attaining wisdom and discipline states the purpose of the entire book of Proverbs. That once a man knows what is true, he will then be able to do what is right. If you think about it, how can we expect a person who does not know the truth of God to do what is right? If we're to walk the walk that God wants us to, we must be instructed with the truth, and we must allow that truth to train us. If we're going to do what is right, and the proverb says just and fair in these verses, we need to understand that truth about life which God has revealed, and then we can be a disciple of the Lord. The truth of God is that which provides the foundation upon which you and I can build our lives, a life that is pleasing to God. That's understanding words of insight, the writer of Proverbs says here, helps a man to be discriminating so that he can separate the good from the bad, the essential from the non-essential. You know, if we were to ask ourselves to take a look at our lives, most of us right off would say, well, all the things in our life are essentials. And I'd say that too. But are we wise? Do we really know what are the essentials? And that is what we hope to discover in Huddle this year. What is essential for being a man of God in today's world to apply wisdom that imparts life? Now, knowledge alone does not guarantee virtue. But we need to say this, ignorance has a smaller chance to produce a good life. You know, you can gather information and you can learn truth, but it's not until that truth is put into action on a practical level that it becomes wisdom. Here's an example. You send two people to the same instructor. They're going to be taught the same set of facts on how to organize a business, handle their materials wisely, advertise their products, sell it. One person goes and takes the knowledge he gained and utilizes it in the organization of his business, and he makes a profit. He's a success. But what if the other guy just takes the facts and every day keeps going back through his notes from that course and just keeps reading them over each day? Is his business ever going to get off the ground? You know, we have God's Word, and I hate to say this, we can read it each day. I hope you do. I know I'm guilty sometimes that I just whiz right through the day and I forget it. But reading, it's not enough. The knowledge is not enough. It's the application of that knowledge that makes things happen. And that's the clue that we need to remember as we launch on this study of Proverbs. You know, and it applies really to a person as you tell them about God. One person can take the knowledge about God and they can commit their life to Jesus Christ, recognizing that Christ died on the cross for their sins. They have forgiveness of their sins and they have the promise of new life, and all they have to do is welcome and accept what Jesus has done for them. And they're guaranteed an eternal presence with God. On the other hand, another person may have that same knowledge, but if they don't give their heart to the Lord, it's just knowledge. It does no good. You might call that the difference between really head knowledge and heart knowledge. Where do we begin? Well, I want you to look at verse 7, last verse printed on our page. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If a man is to find true knowledge, he must begin with God. Now that word fear used here is not, again, one of those things where you fear to be punished. You fear the IRS is going to send you an audit. You fear getting a speeding ticket because the policeman that you just went past probably had his radar on. You know, you fear those things. But when it talks in the Scriptures about the fear of God, it really means trust in God, to trust in the Lord. And if we are willing to trust in the Lord, then we can find out what truth is, and we can make that complete commitment to God. So knowledge of God is essential, and there is no really way to explain the things of life, the ways of man, the ways of this world, and what's going on around us without a knowledge of God, who is the Creator. And if you're willing to trust in the Lord for all things and have that fear of the Lord, then and only then there can there be the beginning of knowledge which leads to wisdom. So if you really want to be smart, bottom line is you got to begin with God. Otherwise, you're trying to do it on your own. I like really at the end of that seventh verse because it does tell us we have a choice. Isn't that amazing about God? He's so good that He gives us a choice. He doesn't force us to do anything. What's He said? But fools despise wisdom and discipline. A fool is the opposite of a wise man. A fool is a fool because he rejects knowledge and therefore is void of it. If you go back into the Psalm, Psalm 14:1, it says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. That's simple. When you remove God, you remove knowledge, because He is not only the source of it, He is it. He is the foundation. Think, remember one of Jesus' most practical illustrations in the Gospels. Matthew records it's in the seventh chapter, about two men who had a choice on how they could build a house. Now they both knew how to build the house. It's just one chose to build it on the rock and one chose to build it on the sand. And the storms came, the test comes, one survives and the other falls. You see, it's the foundation that determines the end result. Now, guys, I have to be honest. Just because I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior does not mean I won't make foolish mistakes. Accepting Christ doesn't make you perfect. And believe me, I have made many. And one as recent as yesterday that I'm not very proud of. And as I reflect back on what happened yesterday, I began to see it happen because I wanted to be in control. And that I ignored some of the knowledge that God imparts in His Word and didn't apply it. I wish I could say I never make a mistake, but I can't. But what I have to realize is that I can't cover it up. It begins with being honest and being real, not only with God, but you have to be real with yourself. And then we can get back to building on that firm foundation. Guys, I'm excited about what the study is going to do this year. I don't know where God's going to take it. I just know this. I need it. And I think we all need it. If we're going to be today's men, living for God, applying God's truth, I need wisdom to live the life that God has given me in a way that's pleasing to Him and brings Him the glory and not someone looking at myself. So I have something I'd like you to do. I'd like you to pray for me because I'm going to be praying for you. And together, God can do some pretty amazing things. Will you join with me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for the knowledge of your Son, Jesus. And if there's someone here, Lord, who doesn't know your Son, Jesus, they begin to sense your Spirit knocking on the door of their heart, that they might be willing to give up that control and turn it over to you, invite you in. And Lord, once that happens, I know, Father, that doesn't mean everything is going to be right and great and grand. But we do know our eternity is secure. And it's the beginning point, because then we have the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. So, Father, I pray if there's anyone here who does not know the one who is the truth, that they might sense your Spirit speaking to them. And for those of us, Lord, who have the knowledge, who have heard the name of Jesus, know what he has done for us, Father, in these coming weeks, help us to take that knowledge, apply its truth in our lives, that we may be wise, that we may do that which is just, right, and fair. We invite you to do that, Lord, and begin in our discussions now around the tables. In Jesus' name, amen.